Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening every Sunday night at 8:05 Central. Of course, that would be 9:05 Eastern. Here on this program, Bible Crossfire, we look at biblical issues between believers, because we realize what John 8:32 says, that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And that context is talking about being made free from sin. That implies that if we believe, accept, practice, teach something other than the truth, false doctrine, we won't be set free from our sins. 2 + 2 cannot equal 4 and 5 at the same time in mathematics, and it can't be that way in religion either. What God says is right, and things that are different from that are not the truth and will cause people to be lost. You know, the lines are wide open. A lot of times we get a lot of calls right at the end of the program, and I can't get to them all. Right now, the lines are wide open if you have a Bible question or comment. And that number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Last week, we were talking about the phrase, or the verse, Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Jesus speaking says, "Let them alone," probably referring to the Pharisees. He says, "They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Jesus is using an analogy to make a spiritual point, a physical analogy or illustration. He does this quite frequently. Here, the blind leader represents the false teacher, false religious teacher. The blind follower represents us if we allow that false teacher to lead us astray. The ditch represents the bad place, H-E-L-L, being lost. So the point is that when you have a false teacher and we allow him to lead us astray, it's not just going to be him that's lost for giving us the false doctrine. We're going to be lost too. We're going to both fall into the ditch if we allow ourselves to be led astray. Of course, the physical analogy is two men walking through a pasture. They come upon a ditch. They're both blind. They're both going to fall in. You need one of them to be able to see so you can walk around the ditch or go over the bridge. So what we need to do is to be careful to make sure that we're not allowing false teachers to lead us astray. Here's a verse that helps us to understand how to guard against this. This is perhaps the highest compliment given in the Bible, or close to it. Talking about the Bereans, Acts 17, verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." So even though it was Paul that was doing the preaching here, perhaps other than Jesus, one of the most famous gospel preachers of all time, the Bereans are complimented because they didn't accept what Paul said blindly. Instead, they compared what he said with the scriptures to make sure he was preaching the truth. So taking that example, whenever you hear preaching, whether it's from me or anybody else on the radio or on TV or at church, wherever you go, you make sure they can put their finger on a book, chapter, and verse proving what they say. If they can't, don't accept it. Don't allow that false teacher, the blind leader, to lead you astray. Because if you allow that, you're going to fall into the ditch. You're going to be lost just like him. Instead, be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures. Make sure what he's saying can be proven from the scriptures. If he's not trying to prove what he says by the Bible, then he's not even coming close to being a true teacher from God. Matthew 15, 14, "Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Bobby from Illinois, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was calling, I was telling a guy just now that my family, we go to church every Sunday or try to. We miss occasionally. But we're a blended family, and language is kind of a problem right now, and I don't know how to guide my family, kind of tell them that I think that sin is just going to open the door for more sin, mm-hmm. and without them thinking that I'm trying to, because I'm the step-parent, step-dad, and mm-hmm. And my wife, you know, it kind of affected me, and then I found myself, I was like, I started cursing, and I just found that the sin, our marriage started struggling a little bit, and I was like, I just think the sin opened that door to where more temptation, you know, like, well, that's okay, so I guess we can do this. So.
Yeah, I know that is. Let me read you a verse. You already know this verse, or you already understand the truth. In Ephesians 5:29, we read, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So, Bobby, you're right. This foul language, the cursing, is not within God's will. And what we have to understand, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Sin is transgression of the law." We're talking about God's law in this case. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Now, I'm not good at giving advice, but the only thing I can think of is you've got to impress upon them that what they're doing is sin. They may think of it as a little sin that has no consequence, but the Bible says the wages of sin, any sin, is spiritual death. Any sin that we refuse to repent of. Let me mention another verse. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, Bobby, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all." So I think they're thinking of this sin as small, not that important. You need to let them know, James 2:10, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. I'm not sure I can give it. Go ahead, Bobby.
I explained it to my wife that, you know, no matter what, it's sin. Like, our pastor, awesome pastor, like, I get so much out of his sermons. Anyway, so I told her, I was like, if you repent of that sin, and you're not truly in your heart trying to correct that sin, then you're not forgiven.
Right.
Because
that's
you're
exactly
not in
right.
In your heart of hearts, you truly don't believe it's sin. And so in
exactly.
The Bible, if it says it's sin, then you have to repent of it. And so, but I'm the one that's like going too far with it, you know, like, mm-hmm. She's like, you're going to become a Bible thumper. You know, I don't think of that as a derogatory thing.
No, that's a compliment.
I understand where she's going. You know, she doesn't want someone trying to control her life, and mm-hmm. everyone's, you know, got their own personalities. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be an ogre. I'm just trying to guide them to where they understand that it is sin and that it is wrong. And, mm-hmm. Hell, so I don't know.
You know, I was thinking, this verse is talking to Christians, and 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we got to impress upon ourselves is that if we're not willing to confess it, meaning we're not willing to turn from it, God won't forgive us.
Yes, sir.
You're right about that, Bobby. Bobby, we appreciate your call. I want you to do me a favor. I'd like to talk to you about the Bible more, but I only got 30 minutes. So what I want you to do is I want you to send me an email sometime in the next day or two at BibleCrossfire@email.com, okay?
Certainly. Thank you so much for your time. Yeah. I appreciate it. You'll have a great evening.
Appreciate your call, Bobby. I would encourage all of our listeners to send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. You might want to get on my weekly email list where I give a little email, usually very short, once a week, called Doctrine Matters. You might want to get asked to get on that list, or you just might want to strike up a conversation with me about the Bible. I would love it. Send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. The number to call tonight, if you want to get on the program live, is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. We're talking about if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. If we allow ourselves to be led astray by a false teacher, we're going to be lost just like them. Last week, we used the illustrations or examples of the Mormons, possibly leading folks astray, talk about some of their false doctrine, comparing it to what the Bible has to say, showing it was different. The Watchtower Church, the Witnesses, we showed how they taught some things that were different than what the Bible taught. And if we allow them to lead us astray, we're going to be lost just like them. The Sabbatarians, who try to bind parts of the old law, especially the Sabbath, according to Colossians 2:14-17, they're not following the Bible. Don't let them lead you astray. Let's move on to another example. Let's talk about the Methodist Church for a moment. People might be surprised about some of the things the Methodist Church teaches. Here's from their articles of faith, article number 9 of the Religion of the Methodist Church says, "Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort." And so the Methodist Creed book says that people are saved by faith only. James 2:24 says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." You know, that's the only place in the Bible where you have faith only, that word only following the word faith. The Methodists say that we're saved by faith only. The only place you find those two words together like that, James 2:24 says you're not saved by faith only. Instead, you're justified by works. It takes both. Your faith needs to lead to good works. That reminds me of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." He's making the point in this particular section that the Old Testament law, circumcision typifies that law. It doesn't matter anymore. We don't have to keep the old law anymore. Circumcision doesn't matter. But the thing that does avail, the thing that matters, is faith which works by love. You got to have all three. Faith only won't save you. Love only won't save you. Works only won't save you. It takes faith, works, and love, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Mark from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, I'm a middle-aged man in my 50s, and my question is, bluntly, premarital sex, when you've already kind of been through marriage and divorce and you're in a committed relationship with a Christian woman, and what is the Bible? I know what the Bible says about it, but is there, what is your take on what the Bible says about that for basically older people? I read it as for maybe younger people.
You know, a verse like 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2 doesn't talk about old or young. It just, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and that every woman have her own husband." So if you go down to verse 8 and 9, verse 9 says, "But if they cannot contain," and it's talking about, say you're in a relationship with a woman, and you can't contain, you can't keep yourself from sexual relations because the desire is too strong. It says, "If they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." I take it to burn in lust. Burn in lust. So the Bible says in many places that the only place lawful sexual relations, and I'm talking about lawful in the eyes of God, is in a marriage, one man, one woman, not a homosexual marriage, not premarital sex, not adultery where a man's married to a woman and he has sex with another woman. Yes, you cannot have sex with that lady, Mark, unless you're married to her scripturally. You agreed with me, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Now, I'm going to mention something to you, Mark. You mentioned about divorce. Have you considered, and you probably have, there are some passages that talk about divorce and remarriage. I'm sure you consider them. One of them is Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. I want to read Matthew 19:9 to you, see what you think about it, and make sure you're considering that if you're thinking about marrying this lady. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication," that's the one and only scriptural cause, "and marry another, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery."
Okay.
Now, when you say put away in the King James, the old King James, that's equivalent to the word divorce. The newer translations will say divorce there. So it's saying the only cause, scripturally, I can divorce my wife is if she cheats on me sexually. She commits adultery against me. If I do it for any other reason, and then I remarry, that's adultery. Or if somebody marries her, that's adultery. That's what Matthew 19:9 and the similar passages are saying, Mark. Have you considered that?
Well, I mean, yes, I have, and I've read those scriptures as well, and but yes, I have, to answer your question. Absolutely, I've considered that, yes.
Mark, I appreciate your call. I'd love to talk with you more. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So we're talking about the Methodist Church. It says you're saved by faith only, but James 2:24 says you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. A lot of churches really downplay works. They almost make fun of works. They say you can't do anything to be saved, but the Bible says you're saved by works. Jesus said, and this is a verse we were emphasizing 2 or 3 weeks ago, basically did a whole program on it, Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" It doesn't make any sense to call Jesus Lord, boss, if you're not going to obey what he says. That's inconsistent. That's just lip service. Talking about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "He became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Which means if we don't obey, we won't receive eternal salvation. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. Try to make it quick, Phil.
Hi, Patrick. I have a question about a previous caller. The subject was cursing. My question is this. It sounds like you're saying a person can go to hell for cursing. My question is, who determines whether a word is bad or good? Because I can't find any list in the Bible of good words and bad words. Who would determine whether a word is bad to go to hell?
Well, society, the society you're in determines that. But obviously it can be determined. It's possible to determine that, because Ephesians 5:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." So there must be a way to determine what corrupt communication is. And feels right, there's no list in the Bible, because that list could change over time. What might be a word that's okay 100 years ago might develop into a cuss word today, a filthy and trashy word. I think we all know that, and I think we all know what the cuss words are in the United States. Now, they may be different a little bit over in England or in a different language like in France, but we know what they are in the United States, and they can change over time. We must not let corrupt communication out of our mouth. And of course, yes, we can be lost if we cuss, if we don't repent of it. The Bible teaches that any sin that we're not willing to repent of will cause us to be lost. Many places Jesus requires, or the Bible requires, repentance. Luke 13:3, Jesus says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Stick any sin in there. If you don't repent of cursing, cussing, filthy language, corrupt communication, you will perish. And it's talking about spiritually there. You have a Bible question, comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. You know, we can't let the Baptist church preachers lead us astray. Let me read you a quote about the topic of once saved, always saved, from Sam Morris, who was, when he said this quote, he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Stanford, Texas. Now, we've talked about once saved, always saved at least a few times on this program. Here's what Sam Morris said about once saved, always saved, a Baptist preacher from Texas. He says, "A Christian's sins do not condemn his soul. The way a Christian lives, what he says, his character, his conduct, or his attitude toward other people have nothing whatever to do with the salvation of his soul." Can you believe somebody would say that? Let me continue with the quote. "All the prayers a man may pray, all the Bibles he may read, all the churches he may belong to, all the services he may attend, all the sermons he may practice, all the debts he may pay, all the ordinances," and he's talking about God's ordinances, "all the ordinances he may observe, all the laws he may keep, all the benevolent acts he may perform will not make his soul one whit safer. And all the sins he may commit, from idolatry to murder, will not make his soul in any more danger." Here's what Mr. Morris is saying. If you are saved, then even if you commit murder, you're still going to be saved, because he's saying it's impossible for a Christian to lose his salvation. It's impossible for a Christian to fall from grace. Of course, we know this is not true. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." That's pretty simple. A Christian can fall from grace. This verse says, if you do such and such, you are falling from grace. Now, the Baptist church, for the most part, not every one of them, but for the most part, and Sam Morris's quote is typical, The Baptist Church teaches that you can't fall from grace. Once saved, always saved. But the Bible says that you can fall from grace. We must not let false teachers lead us astray. Because if the blind lead the blind, both, not just the false teacher, both shall fall into the ditch. So if we allow him to lead us astray, he'll be lost and we'll be lost. Don't let the Baptist Church tell you, once saved, always saved. Again, that tends to cause people, you know, I mean, I just think of it this way. If a preacher tells his congregation over and over and over again that you can live any old way you want to and still be saved, most of them, over time, are going to start living any old way they want to. They're letting that Baptist preacher lead them astray. They're going to be lost because of that. They're the blind follower falling into that ditch. Let me read another passage that makes clear that once saved, always saved is not true. Hebrews chapter 3 says, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren. Now, going back up to verse 1, when he says brethren in verse 12, verse 1 says he's talking about holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So this has to be a Christian. Has to be a Christian. He's called a holy brother, a partaker of the heavenly calling. That's a Christian. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I've talked to many Baptists, and they say, well, if you truly become a Christian, you can never choose to start living in sin. But this verse shows that's very possible. A brother in Christ, one that has been truly saved, he says, take heed, lest there comes into any of you an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. So a believer, a true believer, can develop an evil heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, if you do that, you'll be lost. Ted, make it quick. We only got just 2 or 3 minutes left on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, I was calling you. You were talking about Sabbath. Are we supposed to keep the Sabbath or not anymore? I mean, the Sabbath of the Bible.
Not anymore. Let me read a passage for you. It's from Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 beginning, Ted. It's talking about Jesus here, Ted. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So he's talking about some ordinances of God, and the Bible says here that Jesus blotted them out, took them out of the way, and nailed them to the cross. Now, if we skip down to verse 16, we'll see some examples of some ordinances that Jesus blotted out, took out of the way, and nailed to the cross. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath is one of the laws that God, that Jesus blotted out, took out of the way, and nailed to the cross. We don't have to keep it anymore. Follow me, Ted?
We don't have the Ten Commandments no more. We got 9?
That's right. But 9 are repeated in the New Testament, and that's why they're still binding. The New Testament is our law for today, and 9 of the 10 commandments, like don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, they're in the New Testament, and that's why they're wrong. Follow me, Ted?
Yeah, but in James it says that if you go wrong on one of them commandments, you're guilty of all.
Yeah, that's talking about now, but nowadays that's talking about the New Testament commandments. The New Testament, we have a lot of instruction and commandments, and if you violate one, you're guilty of the whole thing. We're going to have to go off the air. We have somebody on the line, but we just don't have time to take that call. Susan, maybe if you'll hold on, we can take you after the program is over. Appreciate you listening this morning. Let me repeat, if you want to talk to me about the Bible throughout the week, why don't you send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. We appreciate you listening. Please listen again next week at this same time.